Our summaries this week contain three cases on family law, all from the Arkansas Court of Appeals. The first is Shelton v. Reed, 2024 Arc App 202. The Arkansas Court of Appeals, in affirming an adoption decree, reasoned the natural father's consent was unnecessary because he failed to communicate with the child for a one-year period without justifiable cause. He was living in Texas and incarcerated, and the family was in Arkansas. The mother moved and did not provide him the address. This case centered on the failure to communicate, which was the sole ground relied upon below, as a failure to support was not an issue. Judge Brown wrote the majority opinion and noted it was undisputed that the father failed to communicate with his child for a period of a year, and the opinion could not conclude it was without justification, despite the father being incarcerated in Texas when custody was awarded to the mother in the divorce proceedings. The trial court decree stated that upon release, the father could communicate and request visitation, but this only established a procedure, reasoned the majority, and did not guarantee visitation. In addition, while the father's attorney wrote letters to adverse former counsel, it was not a request for communication, reasoned the majority. The opinion looked to the trial court order and quoted it. Quote, Randall and Sheena married in November 2016 and divorced on February 5, 2020. There was one child born of the marriage. Upon divorce, Sheena was awarded custody of MC, the party's then 18-month-old child. In October 2018, prior to the party's divorce, when MC was approximately 2 months old, Randall was charged with numerous counts of wire fraud and mail fraud. After the trial held on April 28, 2019, Randall was convicted and sentenced to serve a 6-year term of incarceration in federal prison. The party's subsequent divorce decree contained the following provision. The defendant is currently incarcerated with this case on appeal. Upon the defendant being released from prison, whether that is pending new trial or permanent release, the defendant shall be entitled to provide the plaintiff with notice that he is requesting visitation, and if the parties cannot agree to a visitation schedule, then either party shall have a right to request a hearing before the court. The plaintiff waives the right of personal service as to this motion or notice for defendant's visitation upon release, and the same may be served upon her counsel, Scott Smith at Taylor Law Partners, P.O. Box 8310, East Millsap Road, Fayetteville, Arkansas, 72703. Randall and Sheena divorced in February 2020. In March, after the party's divorce was granted, Randall directed his attorney to send a letter to Sheena's attorney requesting photos of MC. In May, after receiving no response, Randall directed his attorney to send a follow-up letter. These letters, though they concerned MC, were not sent to Sheena directly. She denied having received the letters. They were both sent to Scott Smith, the attorney who represented her in the divorce proceedings. Sheena testified that following divorce, Smith was no longer her attorney except for the limited purpose of accepting communication regarding Randall's visitation with MC. Neither of the letters was a request for visitation. Randall admits that he attempted no communication whatsoever with Sheena or MC after the March and May 2020 letters to her former counsel. The adoption petition was filed in March 2022. This is a 1-year period, a nearly 2-year period, of no communication with MC. Randall admits that he did not communicate or attempt to communicate with MC or communicate with Sheena regarding MC during that 2-year time frame. There is no dispute that Randall failed to communicate with MC for a period of at least 1 year. The issue then becomes whether Randall fails significantly without justifiable cause to communicate with MC. Even with the undisputed lack of communication, Randall contends that his failure to communicate was justifiable because of the divorce decree's provision for visitation upon his release from prison. He argues that he relied on the visitation guarantee in the decree and because he was still in custody under home confinement status, the provision entitling him to visitation was not yet triggered, and the adoption petition was filed prematurely. Moreover, Randall asserts that nothing in the divorce decree allowed visitation with MC while he was incarcerated. Therefore, his failure to communicate was justifiable, and his consent for the adoption was required. Randall argues that a natural parent should not be punished, relying on a court order, and place a parent at the risk of losing their parental rights under the adoption statute. First, we agree with Appellee's contention that Randall wholly mischaracterizes the decree's visitation provision on which he relies so heavily. The provision that Randall directs this court's attention to does not guarantee or provide automatic visitation with MC upon Randall's release from incarceration. Instead, it outlines the process by which Randall may request and/or petition for visitation once he is released. Second, to the extent that Randall argues the decree's visitation provision served to excuse him from his parental obligation to communicate with MC throughout his incarceration, we are unpersuaded. Communication and visitation are not one and the same. The terms are not synonymous and interchangeable. The allowance or disallowance of one does not equate to an allowance or disallowance of the other. The plain language of the divorce decree demonstrates there was no prohibition on contact or communication. We decline to insert a restriction into the decree where there is none. Accordingly, we find that Sheena and Randall's divorce decree provides no justifiable cause for Randall's failure to communicate with MC for a period of more than 1 year. When reviewing a finding that consent is not required pursuant to Arkansas Code Annotated Section 99207A2, we must consider whether the parent has utilized those resources at his or her command in continuing a close relationship with the child. Randall testified that while in prison, he had access to resources such as mail, phone, and internet. He specifically testified that he had to pay for phone use prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, but once the pandemic began, phone use was provided free of charge. Yet Randall admitted that he never called Sheena. When questioned, Randall conceded that the divorce decree did not prohibit him from contacting Sheena to check on MC, nor did it prohibit him from sending MC birthday cards or gifts. Despite this acknowledgement, Randall testified that after the party's divorce in February 2020, he made no attempt to directly communicate with Sheena. On this record, we agree with the circuit court's finding that Randall failed to establish justifiable cause for his lack of communication with MC. Randall also contends that his failure to communicate with MC was thwarted by Sheena. He argues that Sheena directed him to stop contacting her, so he did as she requested. Sheena testified that when Randall initially went to prison, she received communications from him, but the content of the communication did not involve MC. Instead, it was flirtatious in nature. Sheena admits that she requested that Randall not contact her on one occasion. She stated that she sent a single email to Randall asking that he refrain from contacting her. Sheena reasoned that at the time of the request, the divorce was pending and they were both represented by counsel and any communication could have gone through our attorneys. However, importantly, once the party's divorce was final, there was no prohibition in the decree or from Sheena directing Randall to refrain from communication regarding MC. Sheena acknowledged that Randall sent text messages to her on cell phones smuggled into the prison facility. In response, Sheena requested that the prison not allow Randall to continue contact with her by his use of any smuggled and shared jail phones. Sheena did not ask that all contact be prohibited, only contact via illegal means. Notwithstanding that request, Randall still had other avenues for communication, such as email and phone privileges provided through the prison. Yet he did not take advantage of either in an effort to communicate with MC. Randall additionally argues that Sheena moved from Greenwood, Arkansas, but did not provide him with her new address. Despite Randall's urging, We declined to find that this amounts to justifiable cause for his lack of communication with MC. Sheena testified that while she did move, her cell phone number remained the same since 2009. Randall admitted that he did not attempt to call Sheena on her cell phone. Likewise, Sheena's email address remained the same. Randall failed to utilize the resources at his disposal to communicate with MC. Physical address is but one method. There is inadequate evidence to support Randall's argument that Sheena thwarted his ability to communicate sufficient to justify his lack of communication with MC, such that his consent to the adoption was required. For his last argument on appeal, Randall contends that even if consent is proven unnecessary, the circuit court erred in finding that the adoption was in MC's best interest. In support of his brief best interest argument, Randall points to his testimony and that of his parents to demonstrate that he and his family desired to care, support, nurture, and treat MC as family. Randall testified that he wants what is best for MC and wants to be part of her life. Randall's parents provided testimony that they also desired to be in MC's life. In considering best interest, we cannot ignore that since Randall's incarceration in 2018, he and his family took little to no initiative to build a bond with MC or to be involved, directly or indirectly, in her life. End of quote. A dissent written by Judge Hickson and joined in by Judge Barrett reasoned the trial court anticipated visitation upon request when released from jail, and the father, through counsel, had by two letters to the mother's former attorney requested information. In addition, the mother moved several times without giving the father her address, with the dissenters stating, quote, "The narrow issue in this case is this. How can an incarcerated father communicate with a two-month-old infant, then toddler, when the mother directs him not to contact her and he does not know of the mother's various subsequent addresses? An even more elementary question is, how does any person communicate with a two-year-old infant or toddler by telephone from 1,000 miles away? The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines communicate as to convey knowledge of or information about, make known. In my opinion, the sequence of events described above demonstrates justifiable cause for the father's failure to communicate with MC, an infant and then toddler. Not only did the mother advise the father to refrain from calling and fail to provide the father any of her three new addresses, the divorce decree provided that upon the father being released from prison, the father shall be entitled to provide the mother with notice that he is requesting visitation, and if the parties cannot agree as to a visitation schedule, then either party shall have a right to request a hearing before the court. End of quote. End of decision. In Dory v. Dory, 2024, Arc App 199, the Arkansas Court of Appeals reversed and remanded because of erroneously modifying a divorce decree entered 2 years earlier without a motion and without notice. No Arkansas Rule of Civil Procedure 60 motion was ever filed. Judge Hickson wrote, quote, "This appeal rises from a post-divorce dispute between appellant Allison Dory, now Theobald, and appellee Adam Gabriel Dory. The order on appeal terminated Adam's alimony obligation as originally ordered in the divorce decree and gave Adam credit for the alimony he already paid against the party's joint marital debt. On appeal from the order, Allison argues that the trial court erred in terminating Adam's alimony obligation and in converting his alimony payments to payments on the joint debt, and the manner in which the trial court altered and amended the divorce decree requires reversal. Because we conclude that the trial court erred in modifying the alimony provision in the divorce decree sua sponte and without proper notice to Allison, we reverse." End of quote. The husband paid alimony until his former wife remarried, after which he made one payment. She filed for contempt, and he replied he was no longer obligated to make alimony payments because of the remarriage. The husband testified that when he signed the divorce decree, his wife had an attorney, but he did not. He said he went to the lawyer's office and signed a signature page, but never saw the rest of the decree and was unaware he had to pay alimony. He alleged his former spouse defrauded him. The trial court modified the earlier decree and ruled the alimony payments were terminated, and he got credit for that paid and extra went to joint debt. In finding the husband was not in contempt and had a $19,500 credit, the judge ruled that he owed her $420.14. She argued, on the other hand, the trial court erred in amending the decree and there was no proof of fraud. Quote, the trial court modified the divorce decree more than 2 years after the decree was entered. In order to vacate or modify a judgment or order more than 90 days after it has been entered, the trial court must determine that at least one of the enumerated list of circumstances in Arkansas Rule of Civil Procedure 60C exists. Rule 60C-4 allows a trial court to vacate or modify a judgment in the case of misrepresentation or fraud by an adverse party. There are five elements of fraud, and the party seeking to set aside a judgment for fraud has the burden of proving fraud by clear, cogent, and convincing evidence. Here, Adam never filed a Rule 60 motion to modify the divorce decree, nor did he ever reference Rule 60 in any of the proceedings below. Nor did the trial court ever mention Rule 60 either in its written order or in its comments from the bench. Instead, the trial court sua sponte modified the terms in the divorce decree, apparently based on its oral finding that she misled him, frauded him, or whatever you want to call it. Because no Rule 60 motion was filed in the present case, and Allison was not on notice that fraud would be an issue at the contempt hearing, the trial court erred in modifying the divorce decree based on its apparent finding of fraud. End of quote. End of decision. In Elkins v. Arkansas Department of Human Services, 2024, ARC App 204, the Arkansas Court of Appeals reversed and remanded at the permanency planning stage because of issues arriving under the Indian Child Welfare Act. Judge Brown wrote, quote, appellants Cody Elkins and the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma appeal from the Sebastian County Circuit Court's permanency planning order and the subsequent order terminating Elkins's parental rights to his son, M.C., born on November 30, 2018. Appellants argue that the circuit court's decision to change the case's goal following the permanency planning hearing to solely adoption after termination was premature under the Indian Child Welfare Act's or ICWA's protections. They also argue that the circuit court erred in denying a placement hearing for months, contrary to state law, requiring that placement be considered every 6 months and following through with the termination hearing. Finally, appellants argue that the termination order should be reversed because it was not in MC's best interest. We reverse and remand. While the home study in this case had not yet been approved at the time of the PPH, the evidence showed that there were relatives willing to take custody of MC upon approval of the home study, which was held up by no fault of appellants or the extended family. The same relatives already had custody of MC's siblings from a separate juvenile case and were already enjoying visitation with MC via Zoom. Additionally, everyone except the ad litem felt that MC should ultimately be placed in his grandparents' custody. The circuit court found by a preponderance of the evidence that the goal should be changed to solely adoption following termination. We hold that the circuit court clearly erred by changing the case's goal to solely adoption following termination in contravention of the preferences mandated by the ICWA. Accordingly, we reverse and remand the permanency planning order for the circuit court to follow the standards as required under the ICWA and to enter an order consistent with this opinion. Because we reverse and remand on this issue, we necessarily also reverse any subsequent orders entered by the circuit court in this case. End of quote. End of decision.